You're listening to SBS News.
Researchers at the Australian National University and Macquarie University set out to put the economic theory on carbon pricing to the test. Economist at the Australian National University, Paul Burke, says the team looked at the real-world data of 142 countries in the two decades to 2017.
The theory for carbon pricing is very strong. If there's a price charged on emissions, then one is likely to substitute away from high emissions production processes like using coal and towards lower emission technologies like solar and wind. So the theory is very strong. And what we did is we compared the emissions growth rates for countries with carbon prices and countries without carbon prices, while also controlling for many other differences between countries. The key finding is that countries with carbon prices are much more likely to have reductions in emissions over time, and we can see it very clearly in the data.
He says the extent of the difference between the two types of countries was surprising.
If a carbon price is introduced, then subtract 2 percentage points from that emissions growth rate. One other finding we have is the higher the carbon price, then the quicker the emissions reduction. So every additional euro of carbon price, or you can choose another currency, of course, helps to reduce the emissions growth rate even further. A higher carbon price leads to greater emissions cuts.
That's happening while countries that did not have a carbon tax had an on average 3% rise in annual emissions. Study co-author Rohan Best from Macquarie University says it's a significant finding.
I think this has a lot of relevance for any country who's considering either introducing a carbon price or raising a carbon price. There's been quite a lot of interest in Turkey in the paper. Some of their policy think tanks have been looking into it. So I think there are many countries that are still introducing carbon prices. It's going up around the 50 mark as time goes on, and there could be even more countries in years to come.
In Australia, the politics around carbon pricing has become particularly toxic, dominating three election campaigns and contributing to the demise of two Labor Prime Ministers, Julia Gillard and Kevin Rudd.
There will be no carbon tax under the government I lead.
Climate change is the great moral challenge of our generation.
It will hit everyone's power bills. It's just going to go up and up and up, and from today, people are paying the price of Julia Gillard's betrayal.
The country only had a carbon price for 2 years before it was repealed in 2014 by then Liberal Prime Minister Tony Abbott. Opponents of the policy held regular protests calling for it to be axed.
Axe the tax! Axe the tax! Axe the tax!
Axe the tax!
Axe the tax!
Fellow miners, fellow Australians, I absolutely delight in the fact you've all turned out.
Associate Professor Paul Burke says the unfortunate result of repealing the carbon price was that it was effective in reducing emissions, and had it remained in place, the country would be tracking better on emissions reduction instead of flatlining.
Well, almost certainly our emissions level would be lower now than otherwise. So Australia's emissions from the energy sector have been growing quite quickly from some parts of the energy sector. So, for example, from Australia's LNG, liquefied natural gas sector, emissions have been increasing. If we had a carbon price still in place, that would apply to those emissions, and that would be giving a strong incentive for those emissions to be captured and stored or reduced in some other type of way. So if we apply the magnitudes that we obtained in our study, then we're talking about quite a large difference in emissions. Our study was just focused on emissions from fuel combustion, so from the energy system. But we're looking at quite a big difference, something in the order of 10% difference if we had kept a robust carbon pricing regime compared to having scrapped it.
The federal government says technology and gas will be key pillars of its long-term emissions reduction strategy to meet Australia's 2030 Paris target of a 26-28% reduction on 2005 levels. The final version of the Technology Investment Roadmap and Australia's first low-emissions technology statement are set to be released in coming months, ahead of the next major UN climate conference, now postponed until November 2021. Tony Wood from the public policy think tank the Grattan Institute says he remains optimistic that carbon pricing will be an inevitable consideration in the future based on the economics, but says history has shown the political narrative and community buy-in needs to be better handled.
It will become increasingly clear that the economically efficient way to make the transition to a low emissions future is through a broader carbon constraint, carbon price mechanism of some sort. And as we do, and I think that is inevitable. Now, unfortunately, there's a whole lot of reasons why we are not yet able to embrace that. That is the reality of the political situation we're in. And I think you can also see, because of their somewhat learned history, federal Labor is not in the position to embrace that. And even the state governments, a number of state governments who've also adopted a zero emissions by 2050 long-term target, they don't have policy instruments. They don't have carbon prices to address this problem either, because it's still seen to be a bit of a poison chalice. Now, I think eventually we will realise that we all have to drink from that what appears to be a poison chalice. And when we do, we'll find it actually tastes pretty good.
Biwa Kwan, SBS News.